This evening we have Brother David to be our speaker, and I know he will appreciate your careful attention and an interest in your private prayers. Brother David.
Thank you, and thank you for braving the cold tonight to come out and listen to me ramble. What I want to do this evening is kind of touch a little bit on 2015, things that were brought to my mind that I thought were kind of important on instructions we have and scriptures that were brought out. And hopefully I can abbreviate this down to where it won't get boring and it won't take very long for us to go through. But I had so many things in my head about this year and what it's meant to us and whether it was good or bad and what part God played in our lives. One of the things that I first came across was that God has prepared a way for us to live. And you know, we think that life isn't fair, that it could be so much better if God would bless us a little more. And then when you look at yourself and you say, well, what have I done? How have I treated others? How have I done anything for God that He should pay me such a great blessing? He gave me life. He gave me something to eat. He gave me a nice warm place to lay down and go to sleep. I got transportation wherever I want to go. So I wanted to bring out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read 7 through 10. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It's pretty easy to be overcome and say, well, you talk about God and all this. He's all wise and everything. And that's a mystery to me. It's way beyond me. I don't understand that. And I don't know how we're supposed to. But when you look at it with faith, it's not such a mystery. He spelled it out for us pretty plain that as we go through our life, if we put our trust in Him and follow after Him, that He has prepared a place for us. That He's prepared our lives and knows everything about us before we do. And so when we look at a new year, that's a pretty good way to look at it. God does not fail. It is up to us to fail God. God sees us. He watches us. And He doesn't fail. He's always there. Now I want to go back to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And these are the words of Christ. He says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." You know, we like to, during prayer meetings, we get together and we say how we were blessed and good things that happened to us, or we share things that we thought went totally wrong, but we survived. And life is just that way. But when we truly go to our secret place and we seek God, and we don't expect a reward for seeking God, but just ask that we might be pleasing to Him, then He does reward us, and He'll do it openly. You ever think about when somebody asks, "Would you pray for me?" That when you do that, that you are not only praying for that person, but you're showing that you have faith, that you know God, and that you know that He hears that prayer, and that you know that He doesn't fail, and He will be there, and He'll take care of that person, and He'll take care of you. That's what it means when it says, when you go to your closet, when you go to your secret place, you're not there to be seen of other people. But you're there because you care and because you're actually concerned about the things that happen around you. And God blesses us for that. If life is too hard, take a daily walk with God. I'm not sure where that came from, but it was in my notes. Take a daily walk with God. And I think it was probably something that I talked about in my sermon because it was there. Life gets hard a lot. A lot of stumbling blocks, a lot of grains of sand in our shoe. You know, it's not the mountains ahead that bother us, it's that grain of sand in our shoe that's constantly there irritating us. But when we walk with God, He takes care of those things. He straightens it out. He changes your way of thinking. He says, "I can do this." And He takes away that irritation from that grain of sand. And He removes those things from our life when we trust Him. The keeping of our souls. That's in 1 Peter I've got as a reference. Chapter 4. And only one verse. Verse 19, 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 19. "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." You know, we all suffer. But the Lord told us, you're going to suffer. He says, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have the poor among you. You're going to have bad hair days. You know, it's just a part of life. But if we keep ourselves doing well, not only for ourselves, but for those that we are around, then our faithful Creator takes care of our soul. Because it's in the right place. Our soul is directly connected to our heart. Where your heart is, that's where your effort's going to go. And that's what He's trying to tell us here. Peter. Peter should know. Peter went through a lot in his life. And he says that them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to God. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to go through even before you know it. Otherwise, we'd try to avoid it. But that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to prove that we can go through life and take those hard knocks right along with the good ones. My next one's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." We are all God's children. And we must live in peace and joy, hope and charity, and be thankful for what we receive. I think when I talked about this, I even talked about be thankful for your trials, because if we didn't have trials, we wouldn't recognize the good times, would we? So whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, we're told that the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And so we ought to give him a pretty good portion of our thoughts and our efforts, even when they're not what we consider to be good things that happen to us. We'd be thankful for them because they make us stronger. They make us a better person. There's no substitute for experience. You can talk all you want to, but until you experience it, that's when you get wisdom. That's when you get education and understanding, because you have experienced it. One question that I gave was, why are we part of the Church of Christ? Why have we picked the Church of Christ? I'm going to go to Ephesians, if I can find it in my book, and read a couple of verses there. My fingers get stiffer and stiffer. I have trouble turning these pages. It takes me longer, but Kathy says that's a good thing because it gives us time to look it up too. So, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's kind of why we join the Church of Christ. Because we are a part of his body. And through his name, we can find eternity in his kingdom. All things given to God, who gave it to Christ. Turned it over to him and said, that which is wrought in Christ, which is everything that we know. The creation we know, the life we know, the future, the past, the present, all are in charge by Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we can do all things. It is through his body and his church, his bride, that we find eternal salvation and hope in life. You might remember when I talked about troubled waters and Peter and how he started to sink and Christ said, why did you doubt? And kind of compared Peter to me. I don't think I'd have made the first step because Peter just took off and went out there. And he did really good until he got a little bit of doubt when he saw the great big waves coming. And when Christ reached out his hand, picked him up, he said, why'd you doubt? You knew I was here. You knew I would take care of things. But you doubted. But you know, in our life, we have troubled waters, and then we doubt. But then in faith, we are healed. And that's what I had recorded here. In troubled waters, we doubt. In faith, we are healed. Because we're all going to doubt. Because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than anything that we can imagine. It's as big as it gets. Between life and death and doubt and faith. I went to Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to read 14 through 29. Mark 9, 14 through 29. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teacheth him, and he teareth him, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You ever felt like that? Like you're just being destroyed. You know, everything is going wrong. I can't do anything right. And the Lord says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. A big lesson right there to us. You know, we got to, if we feel that we're being destroyed, we've got to fast. We've got to pray. We've got to put in some effort ourselves. And not just say, Lord, take care of this. You know, I'm going to go about my way. You take care of it for me. It doesn't work very good that way. We have to genuinely mean it. We have to really put forth the effort and say, I am willing to do what I can if you will help me. Then I talked about neighbors helping neighbors. And how my neighbors sometimes, they all come, they see me working in a field and they all start gathering around, and pretty soon the road's almost blocked. We got so many vehicles that are people wanting to talk to me. And how come they can't do that in church? How come they can't come to church and listen to the words of a wise and caring father? Because that's what these are. These are his words. These aren't my words. These are the words of the Lord. How come people don't come together in church to talk about the important things in life? Like they do out in the middle of a field. They don't put forth that effort because to them that's religion. Real life is out here in the field. This is real life. But then when you go to church, you're just depending on religion. Isn't that life? If you think about it, religion is the only thing we have in life that's worth caring for. That is our faith in our Creator. And it's not always easy to go to church, but we have to remember to put Christ first. And then other things will be added to us that we are in need of. I want to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 15 through 18, three verses, Romans chapter 12. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Boy, that's easy to read. It's not so easy to do. Believe me, my whole life I struggled with that one, to live peaceably with this guy here. What are you asking me to do, Lord? Well, he's asking us to be just like he was. They killed him, and he said, Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Nobody's killed me yet, but it's sometimes pretty hard to forgive them, even though they weren't trying to kill me. They're just irritating me. They're a little sand, that little pebble in your shoe, you know. And sometimes I have to look at myself and say, You need to change your attitude, boy. And that brings me to the next one. And the ones that were here, I know you remember this, the worst day. The worst day. And I went through all the things that had happened to me in a week. And not much of it was good. And then I ran across this on the internet, and I said, man, that's what I needed right there. The worst day. Today was the worst day ever. And don't try to convince me that there's something good in every day, because when you take a closer look, the world is a pretty evil place. Even if some goodness does shine through once in a while, satisfaction and happiness don't last. And it's not true that it's all in the mind and heart, because true happiness can be obtained only if one's surroundings are good. It is not true that good exists. I'm sure that you can agree that the reality creates my attitude. It's all beyond my control, and you'll never in a million years hear me say that today was a good day. I read that and I thought, you know, that pretty much explained my week. Don't tell me it was good. And then the caption at the bottom says, now read it backwards. And it's amazing. Today was a good day. And you'll never in a million years hear me say that it's all beyond my control. My attitude creates the reality. I'm sure that you can agree that it's not true that good exists only if one's surroundings are good. True happiness can be obtained because it's all in the mind and heart. And it's not true that satisfaction and happiness don't last. Some goodness does shine through once in a while, even if the world is a pretty evil place. Because when you take a closer look, there's something good in every day. And don't try to convince me that today was the worst day ever. I gave out a copy to everybody to read that, because if you're listening to it, you might not catch it all. But that's the exact same words, just read backwards. I've got a lot of copies of this if you want it. I tell you, that'll change your attitude when you look at that way. Helping neighbors and things just going wrong, and then you just change your attitude and you turn it all around. You say, there was some good in this day. There's some good in every day. And that brings me to the seasons. This was about September. We start seeing the changes in the seasons. I'm going to go to Jeremiah. I can hardly read my writing. I think it's 33. Where there are 33 chapters, so that's a good sign. Now verse 20 and 21. Yeah, that's what I wanted. 33 of Jeremiah 20 and 21. Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne. If we can change God's day and night, if we can change the seasons that God has given us, then he says, if you can do that, then I can say that I'm not going to have a son who's named Christ. It's going to come in and be your Savior. The whole plan's void and null if you can change it. But you know, we can't change the Word of God. We can't change the seasons. We can't change the day or the night. And so we better do the best we can with what God gives us. And I tell you, it's cold tonight. It's going to get colder. Single digits and below zero this week. We can't change it, but we can live with it. if we've been prepared and we've got a house to go to, we've got a heater that actually works, we've got blankets and coats and covers, and we can stay warm. We can deal with the cold. We can deal with the season. We can get through the snow. But we can't change the season. We can't change the things that God has prepared in our lives. But we can certainly deal with them with His blessing and with His help. It's a cinch. This is no big problem. With all things are possible with our Lord. And we get together this time of year and we sing praises and thanks to Jesus Christ and His birth and the things that bring us happiness. It's just a great season. I love this season. I don't love the cold. I don't mind snow so much, but I don't like being cold all the time. And it's just a blessing that we can do things that keep us warm. Look where we are tonight. Single digit temperatures outside, and in here it's 70 degrees, and we can relax and study the Word of God and be thankful because it's a good day. I'm going to read Psalms, the 9th chapter. In the 9th through the 11th verses, Psalms 9 through 11. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. I think I just did that. He's provided us with quite a few blessings here this evening. We need to do that through all the seasons, through every day of our life, not just during Christmas. Not when we're made to be happy, because the world seems to kind of rejoice with the season. And you hear songs that you don't hear the rest of the year. Singing praises. It's a special time. It's a special season. And it has its misery. But it's still special and it's still good. I want to go to 2 Timothy and read one there. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It's the last two verses of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're told to strive to be perfect, but the only way we can do that is through repentance, through faith, through believing. One of the things that we're told is baptism. And it tells us that baptism is the first fruit of repentance. It's not the last thing we do. It's not something that we should put off all of our life. Say, well, I'll be baptized when I feel that I'm worthy. No, it's the first fruit of repentance. And after you're baptized, remember how the Spirit came down upon Christ in the form of a dove? That's what He wants us to have, because that Spirit gives us instruction. It gives us all the things that are profitable for life. And so that's why the Lord did that for us. He was perfect, but he was baptized anyway to show us how to do it, to show us that it's important to follow all of the things that God has prepared for us. And nobody can do it all for you. You have to make the effort. And we have to be thankful for the scriptures that were given. Because in these words, these are the words of life. These are the things which Peter was given to give to the people when he was taken out of prison. And the angel told him to go and speak the words of life to the people. And so that's what we strive to do up here, is to teach the words of life. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you notice I'm being merciful and not making you switch books, because there was plenty in this book for us to study tonight. Actually, it's a review. We've studied it before, and we review it time and time again so that we can remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And if you remember when I brought that message to you, I still got it. I had put some alfalfa seed in a little jar. And if you want to try and count those seeds, be my guest. It's going to take you a long time to count the seeds in that little jar. And I said, I can plant 2 acres with this, or I can plant 100 square feet with this. It just depends on how much bounty I want to reap off of that I plant. But I said, if I take one seed and give it to every person I meet, look at all that I could plant. One little tiny seed for every person. Well, that jar would go a long ways. I would probably be giving out seeds for years from that one jar. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He gives us what we are in need of. Sometimes he gives it to us before we even know we needed it. But be content with what he has given. And if we need anything else, he'll add that to us. We're thankful. That took us through Thanksgiving. So now we hit December. We've been through the seasons, went through summer, went through the spring. And in the spring, what I had recorded was, let God prepare your life for you. Follow after it, because it's nothing but good, because it's what God has prepared for us. And now we're at the end of the year. We're in December, and we celebrate the birth of Christ, the signs of his birth, the witnesses of being told of his being the Son of God, the Savior of men, the Prince of Peace, the Creator of all that we need and know and are. And we look forward to a new year. And we know the importance of putting Christ first in all that we do. Then our other needs are added to those. That's what I look at this evening. We've pretty much wrapped up the Christmas season, and so now we look to a new year. And one of the things, I didn't even write it down because it's always on my mind. And that's something that Brother Bobby Lee said. He said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's what we need to remember. Whatever he's prepared for us, he's willing to help us to meet that. To meet the challenge of another year. So I did a quick review of things that had impressed me through the word of the Lord that I had brought forth to you to share. And it's been a blessed year. Even though we've had sorrows, even though we've had things we didn't think went our way, and every day there was a blessing. And in the new year, every day will be a blessing. We just have to watch for it. Put our trust where it belongs. For him that prepared for us this year. Thank you.